magic word. Here in the secret kindergarten, the world's best show for kids is starting. The Secret Kindergarten Radio Show. Use your ears and your imagination. We're going to play, we're having fun. The magic secret kindergarten on the Revolution.
Welcome back to The Secret Kindergarten. I'm your host, Gino. This is for all the kids out there. Big kids as well. Today, down here in New Zealand, it's Sunday the 10th of March. And today's Words of Wisdom by Manly P. Hall are these. Sunday the 10th of March. Being good at something shouldn't just look like you know a lot of tricks. It's not fun to watch someone play music if they only focus on the fancy stuff. Practicing and learning makes things better, but it's more important to use those skills to make something meaningful. I'm going to read you a poem. This poem's called Ask Mummy, Ask Daddy by John Agard. When I ask Daddy, Daddy says, ask Mummy. When I ask Mummy, Mummy says, ask Daddy. I don't know where to go. Better ask my teddy. He never says no. Let's listen to some music. Thanks to Nancy Stewart of nancymusic.com.
Put your arms down by your sides. Don't bend your knees. Don't bend at all. We're gonna do the penguin waddle and walk now. Start your walk and stay straight and tall. We're doing yourself around. We're doing the penguin waddle and walk. We're doing the penguin waddle and walk. Doing the penguin waddle and walk. We're doing the penguin waddle and walk. Clever mother penguin, lay your egg and keep it warm down on your feet. Give it to your mate. Keep it warm while you go off to eat. We're doing Every birdie has a song to sing. Every birdie has a song to sing. You hear it singing all day long, for a birdie has to sing his song. Every birdie has a song to sing. And every baby has a song to sing. Every baby has a song to sing. And though it won't have any words, it's the sweetest song you've ever heard. Every baby has a song to sing. Every mother has a song to sing. Every mother has a song to sing. A song for singing when it's light, and a lullaby to sing at night. Every mother has a song to sing. Every daddy has a song to sing. Every daddy has a song to sing. You hear him holler out a song, or humming quietly along. Every daddy has a song to sing. Every grandma has a song to sing. Every grandma has a song to sing. And when she sings her song to you, then it becomes your song too. Every grandma has a song to sing. Every grandpa has a song to sing. Every grandpa has a song to sing. A song of happiness or strife, a song he's carried all his life. Every grandpa has a song to sing. Everybody has a song to sing. Everybody has a song to sing. And when we're singing the same song, you know we just can't do it wrong. Everybody has a song to sing. And when we're singing the same song, you know we just can't do it wrong. Everybody has a song to sing. Everybody has a song to sing. Little mouse, where did you go? Are you in the red house? I don't know.
And you know what time it is. That's right, it's nature time! And today, we are talking about giraffes. Do you know what a giraffe is? Well, you will soon. Giraffes are found in the dry savannas of Africa, where they roam among the open plains and woodlands. Well known for their long necks, these gentle giants are the world's tallest living land animals. An adult male can grow to around 5.5 meters. That's taller than 3 adult humans. That is very tall. A giraffe's height is helpful for keeping a lookout for predators, such as lions and hyenas. Their excellent eyesight allows them to spot hungry beasts from far away too. giraffes only eat plants, which makes them herbivores. A herbivore, someone that only eats plants. Their favorite food is the acacia tree. And they use their long necks to reach the leaves and buds in the treetops. Their long tongues, which grow to a whopping 53 centimeters, also help them to pull down leaves growing way up high. Whilst they may eat a lot, giraffes don't drink much water. This is because they get most of their water from their leafy meals and only need to drink once every few days. And boy, it must be an effort having to lean all the way down to get a drink. Giraffes are very social animals, and they roam around in groups. These groups are called towers, and they typically have around 15 members led by an adult male. The other members are females and young males. To see who is stronger, males, who are called bulls, fight by butting their long necks and heads. This is known as necking. These fights aren't usually dangerous, and they end when one bull admits defeat and walks away. Female giraffes give birth standing up. The result? Newborns are welcomed to the world with a 1.5 meter drop to the ground. Ouch! But these infants are quick to get on their feet. Within 30 minutes, they are standing, and only hours later, they are able to run with their mothers. In the wild, these beautiful creatures live for around 25 years. In captivity, they live longer and have been known to reach 40 years old. And I remember when I was a child, I went to the zoo and I saw a giraffe, and I just remember his tongue. The zookeeper was feeding the giraffe, and he was leaning down, so he was quite, his face was quite close to us, and I just remember his tongue. Whoa. That tongue is something else. Have you ever heard a giraffe? I found a giraffe sound. I think it's a giraffe eating. Let's find out. Let's listen to the sound of a giraffe. There are lots of other animals going, making noise here, right? Can you hear the crunching and munching? And the rustling. Whoa. And that was the sound of a giraffe having something to eat. Now I want to play you a story. It's called The Selfish Giant. While we're talking about big, tall things, this is called The Selfish Giant by Oscar Wilde.
The Selfish Giant. Every afternoon, as they were coming from school, the children used to go and play in the giant's garden. It was a large, lovely garden with soft green grass. Here and there over the grass stood beautiful flowers like stars, and there were 12 peach trees that in the springtime broke out into delicate blossoms of pink and pearl, and in the autumn bore rich fruit. The birds sat on the trees and sang so sweetly that the children used to stop their games in order to listen to them. "How happy we are here!" they cried to each other. One day the giant came back. He had been to visit his friend the Cornish ogre, and had stayed with him for 7 years. After the 7 years were over, he had said all that he had to say, for his conversation was limited, and he determined to return to his own castle. When he arrived, he saw the children playing in the garden.
"What are you doing here?"
he cried in a very gruff voice, and the children ran away.
"My own garden is my own garden,"
said the giant.
"Anyone can understand that, and I will allow nobody to play in it but myself."
So he built a high wall all around it, and put up a notice board. "Trespassers will be prosecuted." He was a very selfish giant. The poor children had now nowhere to play. They tried to play on the road, but the road was very dusty and full of hard stones, and they did not like it. They used to wander round the high wall when their lessons were over, and talk about the beautiful garden inside. "How happy we were there," they said to each other. Then the spring came, and all over the country there were little blossoms and little birds. Only in the garden of the selfish giant it was still winter. The birds did not care to sing in it, as there were no children, and the trees forgot to blossom. Once a beautiful flower put its head out from the grass, but when it saw the notice board it was so sorry for the children that it slipped back into the ground again and went off to sleep. The only people who were pleased were the snow and the frost.
"Spring has forgotten this garden," they cried, "so we will live here all year round."
The snow covered up the grass with her great white cloak, and the frost painted all the trees silver. Then they invited the north wind to stay with them, and he came. He was wrapped in furs, and he roared all day about the garden and blew the chimney pots down.
"This is a delightful spot," he said. "We must ask the hail on a visit."
So the hail came. Every day for 3 hours he rattled on the roof of the castle till he broke most of the slates, and then he ran round and round the garden as fast as he could go. He was dressed in grey, and his breath was like ice.
"I cannot understand why the spring is so late in coming,"
said the selfish giant, as he sat at the window and looked out at his cold white garden.
"I hope there will be a change in the weather."
But the spring never came, nor the summer. The autumn gave golden fruit to every garden, but to the giant's garden she gave none. "He is too selfish," she said. So it was always winter there, and the north wind and the hail and the frost and the snow danced about through the trees. One morning the giant was lying awake in bed when he heard some lovely music. It sounded so sweet to his ears that he thought it must be the king's musicians passing by. It was really only a little linnet singing outside his window, but it was so long since he had heard a bird sing in his garden that it seemed to him to be the most beautiful music in the world. Then the hail stopped dancing over his head, and a north wind ceased roaring, and a delicious perfume came to him through the open casement.
"I believe the spring has come at last,"
said the giant, and he jumped out of bed and looked out. What did he see? He saw a most wonderful sight. Through a little hole in the wall the children had crept in, and they were sitting in the branches of the trees. In every tree that he could see there was a little child, and the trees were so glad to have the children back again that they had covered themselves with blossoms, and were waving their arms gently above the children's heads. The birds were flying about and twittering with delight, and the flowers were looking up through the green grass and laughing. It was a lovely scene, only in one corner it was still winter. It was the farthest corner of the garden, and in it was standing a little boy. He was so small that he could not reach up to the branches of the tree, and he was wandering all round it, crying bitterly. The poor tree was still quite covered with frost and snow, and the north wind was blowing and roaring above it. "Climb up, little boy," said the tree, and it bent its branches down as low as it could. But the boy was too tiny. And the giant's heart melted as he looked out.
"How selfish I've been," he said. "Now I know why the spring would not come here. I will put that poor little boy on the top of the tree, and then I will knock down the wall, and my garden shall be the children's playground forever and ever."
He was really very sorry for what he had done, so he crept downstairs and opened the front door quite softly and went out into the garden. But when the children saw him, they were so frightened that they all ran away, and the garden became winter again. Only the little boy did not run, for his eyes were so full of tears that he did not see the giant coming. And the giant stole up behind him and took him gently in his hand and put him up into the tree. And the tree broke at once into blossom, and the birds came out and sang on it, and the little boy stretched out his two arms and flung them round the giant's neck and kissed him. And the other children, when they saw that the giant was not wicked any longer, came running back, and with them came the spring.
"It is your garden now, little children,"
said the giant, and he took a great axe and knocked down the wall. And when the people were going to market at 12 o'clock, they found the giant playing with the children in the most beautiful garden they had ever seen. All day long they played, and in the evening they came to the giant to bid him good-bye.
"But where is your little companion?"
he said.
"The boy I put into the tree."
The giant loved him the best, because he had kissed him.
"We don't know," answered the children. "He has gone away."
"You must tell him to be sure and come here tomorrow,"
said the giant. But the children said that they did not know where he lived, and had never seen him before, and the giant felt very sad. Every afternoon, when school was over, the children came and played with the giant, but the little boy whom the giant loved was never seen again. The giant was very kind to all the children, yet he longed for his first little friend, and often spoke of him.
"How I would like to see him!"
he used to say. Years went over, and the giant grew very old and feeble. He could not play about any more, so he sat in a huge armchair and watched the children at their games and admired his garden.
"I have many beautiful flowers," he said, "but the children are the most beautiful flowers of all."
One winter morning he looked out of his window as he was dressing. He did not hate the winter now, for he knew that it was merely the spring asleep and that the flowers were resting. Suddenly he rubbed his eyes in wonder and looked and looked. It certainly was a marvelous sight. In the farthest corner of the garden was a tree quite covered with lovely white blossoms. Its branches were all golden, and silver fruit hung down from them, and underneath it stood the little boy he had loved. Downstairs ran the giant in great joy, and out into the garden. He hastened across the grass and came near to the child, and when he came quite close his face grew red with anger, and he said,
"Who hath dared to wound thee?"
For on the palms of this child's hands were the prints of two nails, and the prints of two nails were on the little feet.
"Who hath dared to wound thee?" cried the giant. "Tell me, that I may take my big sword and slay him."
"Nay," answered the child, "but these are the wounds of love."
"Who art thou?"
said the giant, and a strange awe fell on him, and he knelt before the little child. And the child smiled on the giant and said to him,
"You let me play once in your garden. Today you shall come with me to my garden, which is paradise."
And when the children ran in that afternoon, they found the giant lying dead under the tree, all covered with white blossoms.
Well, there goes another giant. Cross that selfish giant off the list. He's gone. Hey. And that's what we do here at the Secret Kindergarten. We get rid of giants. Right now, I have three questions for you. Before we reach the end of another half hour of the Secret Kindergarten, question number one, can you tell me your favorite animal? Mm-hmm. Really? Your favorite animal is a bubble-blowing baby? That's not an animal! Do you want to know my favorite animal? My favorite animal right now is my new puppy! I got a black Labrador puppy. His name's Ernie. And then I feel guilty for my cat, and then my cat's my favorite animal. So my favorite animal is a cat and a dog. Okay, question number two. Can you tell me your favorite color? Interesting. My favorite color is orange. Can you tell me your favorite place to go? I love going there too. Well, we've reached the end of another half hour of The Secret Kindergarten. I love you. Bye.